The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on May 7th, 1992 at New Talavan Farm in Carriere, Mississippi. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 12th Chapter, verse 10 and 11.
The Lord was thus engaged in vanquishing the radiation of the Brahmastra, just as the sun evaporates a drop of dew. He was observed by the child who thought about who he was.
Text 11. Viduya tat aniyatma bhagavan dharma gup vibhu mishato dasamasasya tatraivantardadhe hari vidhuyat tat aniyatma bhagavan dharma gup vibhu mishato dasamasasya tatraivantardadhe hari.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Thus, being observed by the child, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul of everyone, and the Protector of the righteous, who stretches in all directions, and who is unlimited by time and space, disappeared at once. The fourth. Child Prishit was not observing a living entity, a living being, who is limited by time and space. There is a gulf of difference between the Lord and the individual living being. The Lord is mentioned herein as the supreme living being, unlimited by time and space. Every living being is limited by time and space. Even though a living being is qualitatively one with the Lord, quantitatively, there is a great difference between the Supreme Soul and the common individual soul. In the Bhagavad Gita, both the living beings and the Supreme Being are said to be all-pervading. Yena sarvam idam tatam. Yet there is a difference between these two kinds of all-pervasiveness. A common living being or soul can be all-pervading within his own limited body. But the Supreme Living Being is all-pervading in all space and all time. A common living being cannot extend its influence over another common living being by its all-pervasiveness. But the Supreme Supersoul, the Personality of Godhead, is unlimitedly able to exert his influence over all places and all times and over all living beings. And because he is all-pervasive, unlimited by time and space, he can appear even within the womb of the mother of child Parikshit. He is mentioned herein as the protector of the righteous. Anyone who is a surrendered soul unto the Supreme is righteous, and he is specifically protected by the Lord in all circumstances. The Lord is the indirect protector of the unrighteous also, for he rectifies their sins through his external potency. The Lord is mentioned herein as one who is dressed in the trend direction. This means dressed with garments on 10 sides, up and down. He is present everywhere and can appear and disappear at his will from everywhere and anywhere. His disappearance from the sight of the child, Parikshit, does not mean that he appeared on the spot from any other place. He was present there, and even after his disappearance, he was there, although invisible to the eyes of the child. This material covering of the effulgent firmament is also something like a womb of the Mother Nature. And we are all put into the womb by the Lord, the Father of all living beings. He is present everywhere, even in this material womb of Mother Durga. And those who are deserving can see the Lord. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Swami's translation and purport to text 10 and 11 of chapter 12 of canto 1 of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the matter of the birth of Emperor Parikshit. Om Tat Sat. Maharaj Parikshit was inside the womb of his mother. He was not yet born. He was just a small baby before birth. And it is quite miraculous that he could see Krishna. The Nira Krishna was revealing himself to Maharaj Parikshit as a special mercy. Lord Krishna, if he wanted to, he could materialize the Brahmastra in any other way, even without revealing himself. But we can understand that he revealed himself while he was saving Parikshit Maharaj as a special act of mercy upon the great devotee Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj must have been a devotee even before his birth from his previous life. Therefore the Lord is protecting him and giving him so much mercy. Lord Krishna promises, Name Bhakta Pranashati, my devotee shall never be will never perish. Krishna is a long-standing promise is that he'll always protect his devotees. Although Krishna had promised he wouldn't lift any weapon in the battle of Kurukshetra, Bhishma made a vow that he would either defeat Arjuna or force Lord Krishna to pick up some weapon in the battle. So finally when Bhishma was put Arjuna in such a dangerous position, Lord Krishna lifted up the wheel of the broken chariot. And then Bhishma, seeing that he had made the Lord break his promise, he surrendered before Lord Krishna. So, Lord Krishna's promise that he'll protect his devotee is more important to him than any other promise. So the devotee doesn't have to worry for his own protection if he's fully absorbed in worrying about Krishna's interest. Krishna will worry about the devotee. There's a story in India about a guru who, he was a devotee, later he became a guru, who was so absorbed in his deity worship that he had to do some urgent work for his guru, but at the same time he was supposed to go to school. So he was a school teacher, but he carried out his guru's order and worshipped the deity in the morning. And in the afternoon he went to, after the lunch break, he went to school. And he went and went to the principal and was apologizing that I'm sorry that I'm late for school. He said, what do you mean? You were here this morning. You gave your class. I did. Then he realized that Krishna had come and covered him because he was covering Krishna's duty. Krishna had taken his form and gone and given his class. That's what they say. So then after that, he resigned from the school, and he became fully absorbed in Krishna's service. He didn't want to make Krishna take such a botheration for him. And that affected him so much that he became a great preacher. So there are many stories like that. Of course, it's hard to say, hard to document them, but where Krishna has taken the devotee's interest. But that's when the devotee completely takes Krishna's interest. Generally, you don't have that much concentration. We see how in Mahabharata, Arjuna had, and the Pandavas, they were very dedicated to Krishna's interest. But in Krishna, he would always see to their interest. The residents of Vrindavan, they were completely fixed in serving Krishna. So Krishna was always considering how to protect them. When the cowherd boys of Vrindavan were going into the Agasura's mouth, they didn't think twice. They thought, anyway, Krishna is always there to protect us. What is this? So they're so intimately connected with Krishna as friends. They didn't know any fear. But Krishna himself, he became preoccupied, how I can save my devotees. We've just gone into this mouth, of the mouth of this gigantic demon snake. So in this way, Krishna is always protecting his devotee. Of course, he saved the devotees from the mouth of the snake, but also the snake kept his mouth open until Krishna went in. And Krishna went in and brought out all the cowherd boys, punctured the hole in it, choked up the Agasura. So, also Krishna lifted up the Giri Govardhan to protect all the residents of Vrindavan from the vast floods. So we're so fortunate that we can still go to Vrindavan, we can still see the Govardhan Hill. This is not just a myth or a fiction. The hill is still there, Vrindavan is there, Radhakund is there, Shyamkund, all the sacred forests like Kalabon, they're there. All the places where Lord Krishna had his pastimes. Kurukshetra is still there, where this Kurukshetra battle was fought. And Hastinapur is also there. And recently, the anthropologists, they found that just off the shore of Dwarka in Gujarat, there's a vast city under the water. The original Dwarka that sank in the sea. For a long time, people were saying it's all just a myth. Now they found a vast city under the sea. And they're amazed because the port area of the city is larger than the modern-day ports of Rotterdam, London. It's gigantic, so you can't imagine how many boats are coming and going from that city with such a vast port area, dock. Of course, they're now trying to find where is the treasure. But Lord Krishna's pastimes, they're actually all historical. Now there's actually these various historical evidences are being discovered. But unfortunately, people, they don't know much about Lord Krishna. People think, oh, this Krishna consciousness is a cult, it's some kind of a new religion. They don't understand this is a great ancient tradition, timeless tradition. This is eternal religion. that there are 700 million people who believe that Krishna is God in the world. So you can't say this is just something like a cult or something. But because here in America this has never been propagated before, people didn't know about Krishna before. So therefore the uninformed people, they say these foolish things without knowing any better. Srila Prabhupada was the first one to bring over Krishna consciousness, bring over the Bhagavad Gita on a mass scale. The few preachers that had come over before gave some lecture in some small hall, did some little limited type of preaching, but they never propagated to the mass of people who Krishna is, what is the Vedic culture. So therefore the Western people, they remained in the dark for so long. So here in the Bhagavatam, we get actual scientific knowledge about who is Krishna, how Krishna is all pervasive. He's unlimited by time and space. They're spending $100 million on movies to create some fictitious characters and to empower them with all kinds of mystic powers based on their imagination and through computer-generated special effects. They're demonstrating that. But see here in the Vedas, there's no need to imagine fictitious characters who have got special powers, because Krishna has got unlimited power. So the drama, the dance, the art was especially utilized for depicting the glories of the Krishna and his incarnations, like Rama, Vishnu. Unfortunately, the Indian movies don't have the level of technological expertise and special effects. It would be very nice if people use whatever the methods are available to represent Krishna rather than some fictitious characters. So people can become purified in realizing what is the actual glory and unlimited power of the Lord. Krishna is the greatest. And he proves it again and again and again through his various activities, by doing things which no one else can do. No one else can become a small and go in the womb and save a child who's being burned by a nuclear weapon and not have anyone be harmed. Krishna can do that. He can reveal himself to a child in the womb. He can reveal himself to anyone, anywhere, anytime. If Lord Krishna wanted to, he could come right here, right now. Right in this room. But that's up to his own desire. There's a story how one time there was a child who was spoiled by his parents. He was the only child. They call that in Bengali, alala dulal. When they get so much affection, the child starts to think that everything is meant for me. That my parents are my servants. They don't realize that the child doesn't realize that the child's duty is to serve the parents. Because the parents are doing so much for the child, working, feeding, maintaining, giving shelter, giving guidance. So it's the duty of the children to actually serve the parents. Generally, in Indian families and Indian culture, this principle that the children serve the parents when they get older is very prominent. So that's why the mothers, they always like to have, in addition to some son, have a daughter. A daughter can help in the kitchen. Sons are helping the father, different things. Everyone is helping in the family. It's all a joint. Everyone's very close. It's not seen so much in the West, in America anyway. But that was the system. But sometimes, even in India, someone's only child, the parents tend to give over affection to the child, and then they discipline the child. Recently, some reverend in England, he wrote a book that the modern education has spoiled the children. That the modern education taken away the character of the children. He gave an example how there was some parents, they think nowadays, whatever the children want, she give them. And that's the way you can, by pleasing the child, whatever their senses dream of at any time, you try to give it to them. So they had a child like that, and she was very spoiled. And it was time for her birthday, and their parents had made one arrangement, and she said, no, I don't want this, I didn't want a vanilla cake, I wanted a chocolate cake, what are you doing? And then she was so angry that in front of all the guests, in front of all the big birthday party, she just slapped her mother. Nonsense. Didn't give me what I want. And the parents are just, everyone was so shocked how the mother is giving so much love and affection, a whole big birthday party, everything, but the child slaps the mother. Because the child wasn't properly trained. He's thinking instead of being grateful and appreciating the love of the parents have given too much to the child and spoiled the child. They think that they have to give me everything. No, really, the child doesn't realize this. Parents don't have to give me everything. Whatever they're giving is a special love for me. So, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that tendency was there. One time when he was just, the first 5 years the parents are supposed to give, first 4 years they give everything to the children. From 5 to 15, then they're supposed to be very strict, so that the children don't learn to control their mind. At that time, it's very hard for children to control their mind. So they need the parents to use their intelligence to help them in controlling. So when Lord Chaitanya was a little tot, only 3 years old, of course, naturally they gave him so much affection. But one time, his mother said, Mother Sachi told something to him, and he slapped Mother Sachi. Of course, a little three-year-old baby can hardly slap very hard. But still, Mother Sachi, she played as if she was knocked unconscious. She fell down on the ground. She's lying there. And all the ladies said, look what you've done to your mother. Look what you've done to your mother. Nimai, you're such a naughty boy. He's lying and I'm pulling. Mother, please come back, come back. He's crying. And he said, now the only way you can get forgiven for this great offense is you have to bring 2 coconuts. So then immediately, baby Nimai ran out of the house. And all the ladies are kind of laughing, you know, where's he going to get 2 coconuts? Let's see the fun. But they were surprised within a few minutes. He came back with 2 coconuts. Now how does a 3-year-old pick up 2 coconuts? From where? Where did he go? Of course, they don't know that who Lord Chaitanya really is. He can get anything he wants. He's the supreme magician. But he's just playing the part of an ordinary child, having fun with everyone. So he came back with the 2 coconuts. And he put by Mother Sachi, and they was crying, please, Mother Sachi, please come back. I'll never do this again. I'll never hit you again. And then Mother Sachi gradually came back to consciousness and picked up her beloved Nimai and started to hug him and kiss him. So in this way, everything was settled. So that being spoiled is a part, it can happen. But Mother Sachi and Jagannath Mishra, they are very careful not to spoil their child. In fact, Jagannath Mishra, he would sometimes go after Lord Chaitanya to give him a spanking if he was bad. One time in a dream, a brahmana came and told the Jagannath Mishra, how can you chastise your child like that? How can you threaten him? Don't you know he's God? You cannot threaten God. He's the supreme, he's all powerful. Jagannath Mishra said, I don't know who my son is, but I know it's my duty as a parent. I have to protect my son. I have to discipline him. See, he doesn't go on the wrong path. He doesn't become bad. No, but he's God. How can you do this today? No, they kept this brahmin in the dream, kept preaching. Finally, Jagannath Mishra got you know, like a dumb animal. If he's God, then how can I do anything? And then he woke up. It was like too much. Then again, by Yoga Maya, he was back into his parental mood. And he said, I don't care who my son is. I must see that he's properly, you know, brought up. I won't see him spoiled. So then this way, he maintained his parental mood. That is a special power of Yoga Maya, that although Krishna is God, the Yoga Maya puts the different devotees of Krishna in a specific mood according to their raka, their relationship. So there was this one family in the Vedic time, you know, not so long ago, where they had a child, and they really spoiled the child. So the child was always demanding so many things. He was very naughty. What we call a spoiled brat. So one morning, he decided not to wake up. He just laid in his bed. He locked his door from the inside, closed all the windows. His mother thought, well, it's a little late. It's already 8. But maybe the child was up all night or something, doing homework, it's a little tired. Okay, today's an off day, let him rest longer. And it became 9. After 9, finally started knocking on the door. Wake up, what's wrong? Why are you not getting up? The child just covered his head in the bed, ignoring. They kept pounding, what's wrong, what's wrong, wake up. And then he said, yelled out, I know. It's 2 o'clock in the morning and you're a bunch of thieves out there trying to break in and steal all the wealth from me. You're decoys, bandits. Go away, I'm sleeping. You bandits in the night, go away. I'm not a bandit in the night, I'm your mother. It's not night time, it's already day, it's almost 10 o'clock, the sun's up, it's completely bright. You just open the window and look. No, it's all tricks. It's dark in here. I know it's at night. I won't wake up. You bandits, go away. They said, my beloved cherry blossom, wake up. It's daylight. It's not the night. No, I know. It's night. Listen, if it's daylight, you say that the sun is so powerful, the sun is the eye of God. So if the sun is so powerful, if it's really daylight, let him put his way into this dark room and reveal himself to me. Otherwise, I won't believe you that it's light. Otherwise, why the sun is not coming in my room? Are you foolish boy? Open that door and you'll see the light. So sometimes people say, I don't believe in Krishna, I want to see him, I want to see God, show God to me, then only I'll believe. But they're being just like this naughty boy who locked the doors and windows and hid himself, his head underneath a blanket. And he said, I can't see the sun. He has to show himself to me. It's not reasonable. The sun is there. Anyone can go and see. Sun is not the servant that he has to come and force his way in the room. God is not our servant. That when we want, okay, God, pop, come here. It's not like that. Krishna doesn't have to go for anyone. He's voluntarily going to save Parikshit Maharaj out of his own love for his devotees. Uttaya, his mother, for Arjuna, his grandfather, from Abhimanyu, the father of Parikshit, for Parikshit himself. God is not our order bearer. It's not like, you know, we phone up for mail order, okay, God, give me this, give me that. But he comes when we show devotion for him, he reciprocates. Reciprocate means he exchanges. He does the same nice behavior with us. That's his own nature, to be very grateful. So if somebody is a devotee of the Lord, then
the Lord reciprocates. He also gives his love and affection to that devotee. But the materialist to say, I want to see God, the demanding, show me God. There are so many who have seen God. Your Parikshit Maharaj is seeing God. Narada Muni saw God. Everyone in the battle of Kurukshetra could see God. Lord Sri Krishna showed his universal form. There's so many people have seen God in various forms. But in order to see the Lord as he is, one requires divine vision. Bhakti vilochanena. Prabhupada said you need the salve of love, the ointment of love, of devotion. You put in your eyes and you can see the Lord. Then the Lord reveals himself to the devotee. So if people want to see God, then they have to approach him as a devotee. As a devotee, he reveals himself very quickly to. But if one demands, like the spoiled child, I want to see God, make him force his way into my room, is that reasonable? Open the door, you'll see the light. Open your eyes. Open your heart. Let Krishna in and he'll reveal himself to you. Chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then Krishna will reveal himself. Especially people, they have become spoiled, so they don't realize what is the process to see God. And unreasonably they are demanding things which are not reasonable, which are not feasible. Demanding to see the Lord on their own condition. If you want to see the Lord, you have to see him according to the procedure he's laid out. It's not that if somebody wants to see the president, he can demand, you know, I want the president to come to my house. If the president wants to, he can come. It's not that we can demand it. But if we go to where he's speaking, we go make an appointment, and people can also see the President of the United States. If you go according to the procedures given here in the Vedas, you can see Krishna face to face. It's not difficult. We have to open our eyes. The great thinkers like Einstein and great material scientists, they also came to the conclusion after seeing how the world was so systematically constructed, they came to the idea that there must be intelligence behind this creation. There has to be a superior intelligence. There has to be a God. Also, if you want to see the Lord, there's that story about that one disciple of Ramanuja, who was originally a courtier. He was a wrestler, professional wrestler for the king. And one day Ramanuja, with all his devotees in Sri Rangam temple city, they took the Lord in a very big procession. And there were thousands and thousands of people participating in this festival, where chanting of mantras and playing of musical instruments and a big procession with the deity, the fanning the deity. There was, you know, a whole big festival going on. And Ramanuja noted that on the side of the street there was one boy, one young man, carrying a parasol, a fancy umbrella for a girl, very beautiful young woman. And he was like carrying the umbrella and just looking at her face, walking in front of her. And walking down the street, just looking at her like, you know. And he's completely oblivious. He doesn't know at all that this festival is going on. He's just moving down the street, completely absorbed and looking at the face of this beautiful young woman. So after the festival was over and Ramanuja Acharya was going back to the ashram with his disciples, it just so happened that along the same street he was walking again, he sees this young man still walking with the umbrella looking at the girl. So So he said to the disciples, what is that guy doing? It's very rare to see somebody walking backwards on the street holding an umbrella over a girl looking at her face. In fact, when the disciple went and started talking to the boy, didn't even hear him. He was so absorbed in looking at the girl, he was like in a complete trance. So finally he had to tap him on the shoulder, and the guy got real angry, what are you doing? He said, excuse me. It's Ramanuja Acharya over there, the great Acharya, and he wanted to ask you a question. Could you go and see him? And he saw Ramanuja immediately, so he had heard of him. He was a very famous guru. So he went over and paid his obeisances, and then he asked Ramanuja how he could be of assistance to him. So Ramanuja then asked him, who are you? He told him, a professional wrestler in the king's court. And who is this? Is your wife? What are you doing? And he said, no, this is not my wife. This is she's also working in the king's court. She's dancing or something. I forget what she's doing. But anyway, maybe we'll get married, but actually, she's got such beautiful eyes that I cannot stop looking at her eyes. So I'm just carrying an umbrella for her, looking at her eyes. They're so beautiful, I just can't get enough. I can't look at them enough. So Ramanuja was very surprised. Here's the person, He was so enraptured by just the ordinary woman's eyes. So he told them, listen, what if I show you someone who has got more beautiful eyes? No, it's not possible. Nobody can have more beautiful eyes than my little Chiquita here. Forget her name, anyway. Anyway, if I can show you someone with more beautiful eyes, do you have any objection to seeing? So he said, no. So you come tonight to see me at 6 o'clock at such and such a place, and I'm going to show you someone who's got more beautiful eyes. So then that night at 6 o'clock, just it was sunset. What's the daylight savings time then? He met Ramanuja Acharya and took him into a very dark place, and there he couldn't see it. They went in and went into a room. It was very dark. Ramanuja brought him, and then they lit a camphor lamp, and there he saw the very beautiful face of someone, and he saw that the beautiful eyes of this face, they're the most beautiful eyes he'd ever seen. And he realized it was the deity of Ranganatha. And Ramanuja had taken him to the temple of Ranganatha, and he arranged for a private darshan, the arti, showing his eyes. So then, in the presence of Ramanuja, that person became, his heart changed. And then he realized that he was giving so much love and affection, so much attention to material things, instead of to the Lord. So then after that, he became spontaneously filled with devotion for Ramanuja. So then he surrendered to Ramanuja. Ramanuja told him that, asked whether the girl was also a devotee, and turned out the girl was more of a devotee than he was, just that he was infatuated with her eyes, but she's actually a good devotee. So Ramanuja told them both to get married. It wasn't proper that they should associate like that and not be married. So they got married, and they took initiation from Ramanuja Acharya, and they were serving him. So, this deity of the Lord is actually also the presence of the Lord. Just like this disciple of Ramanuja, when he saw the deity of the Lord, he actually saw God in his artha vigraha form.
And that was enough to completely change his life. So if someone wants to see the Lord, we also see the Lord. He's here. He's on our altar. The Lord is here in his Archivigraha form, and we can show anyone the Lord. But those who have got the spiritual vision, they can see the Lord in his full glory. And those who do not have so much faith and devotion, they may only see some external form. So in the Vedas, that if someone sees a deity and sees here some stone or some wood or some metal, that they're having a hellish mentality. It's only by devotion we can actually see the Lord. We know that Krishna is unlimited. He has agreed to come here in a deity form so we can see and worship him. Because we're not pure enough to see him in his transcendental form, which is above time and space, material time and space. So we're very fortunate to be able to serve the Lord who's come in his deity form. To serve Tulasi Maharani, who's eternal associate of the Lord. To serve her Shaligram Srila. So, the Lord comes in these different forms to allow us to serve him. And by serving him, we get purified. Then we can see the Lord as he is. Then he'll reveal himself to us more and more, according to our own devotion. So even if one's a small child, they can also develop pure devotion for the Lord. They can also, it doesn't depend on how old one is. There are many great devotees who are only children, like Prahlad or Dhruva. When Lord Chaitanya went to the temple of Alalanatha near Jagannath Puri, they told him the story how there was a brahmana who had to go on an emergency, leave the house, and there was no one else to do the deity worship. The mother was sick, not able to do the worship then. So he quickly arranged that. He asked his son that you do the offering. It's an emergency. You take the offering before the Lord, the prasad, and offer to the Lord, and he'll eat it, and then you bring it back. You bring back the plate to your mother. So he had to go right away. So he never had time to teach the child how to do all the deity worship or anything. Just give it some preliminary instructions. So the child took the plate of prasada from his mother, the boga, brought it before the deity, put it down, closed the temple door, and the child started crying. The deity spoke to the child, "Why are you crying? You're not eating. My father said, put the food before you, you'll eat it. Please eat. You're not eating." But because the child had so much faith, this is Krishna, he's supposed to eat, he didn't have any doubt that the deity can eat. So the deity reciprocated with the faith of the child, got down from the altar, sat down, ate the offering. Then got back up on the altar and stood there, big stone, deity of Vishnu, of Krishna, Vishnu. So the child came back with the empty plate and gave it to the mother. The mother, normally the deity just looks at the prasadam and eats it when we offer with mantra. But here the whole plate was empty, so what happened to the remnant? Where's all the prasadam? So the deity ate it. The mother didn't know what to think. Maybe the boy eaten that prasadam, he's lying. But he's a very good boy, never lies. So this is going on every day. Every day is coming back with the empty plate. Every day the deity is getting down, eating the offering.
So then after the father came back, she told him, what's happening? It's very confusing to me. So then the father hid in the secret door, went into the secret door in the back of the temple and hid behind the column. And he heard the boy put the plate down, tell the deity, please accept this offering. Please eat this. I didn't hear anything. He looked around the corner of the column. And there he saw the altar was empty. There was no deity. The deity was seated down eating the prasad, eating the bhoga. Oh! He gasped. He was so shocked to see that. He never see Krishna himself. The deity became moving and was just eating. And the boy was standing there watching the Lord eat and with folded hands, with so much devotion. And when he made that sound, then the boy left the deity. Got startled. Did he jump back up on his altar so quick that some of the prasad hit his side and it was like a hot khichdi or something and it actually made a little blister. So even now they show how the stone has got a blister in it. When the deity became moving, it became soft and tender. Then he got burnt by the hot prasad. So even a small child, if they have full faith in the Lord will reveal himself, will do everything for the child. But it's when we don't have faith, we demand, let God show himself. Then he doesn't have to show. But if we approach the Lord with devotion, then he'll actually reveal himself out of his own love. Not that we can demand it. So here we see out of his own love, he revealed himself to Parikshit Maharaj. And he's giving so much mercy. So we pray the Lord also, although we have no qualification, out of his causeless mercy, we can also be able to serve him. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Are there any questions? Hare Gwani Devi, Vasi.
Sure, you were making the analogy about with the child under the pillow hiding from the light. And then I think that you made a comparison to someone that doesn't know the Lord. And so we're calling them to come out to see the light. What about the devotees who, like, we've seen the light a little, we've got that glimpse, but then go back again and put our head under the pillow? Oh, we can't come out.
Yeah.
Or what is our duty, you know,
for seeing
that happening?
Obviously, the child doing that knows that the light is outside, knows it's already late. Not so foolish to not know that. He's just being naughty, giving a hard time to the parents, just playing. So you can wake up somebody who's asleep, but it's hard to wake up someone who's awake pretending he's asleep. So that's why the mother can't get him to get up, because he doesn't want to get up. He's being naughty. So if we are like that, then ultimately who's losing? The child has become spoiled. We cannot allow our mind to be spoiled. We have to understand at this site. We have to treat our mind, Prabhupada said, like a kind of a wild animal from the jungle that you gradually tame. You tie it up on a leash and you make friends with it. You feed a little bit, you give a little, you win over this wild animal. Our mind was just like a wild animal going here and there, everywhere, you know, completely in a disturbed, agitated mind. Now we gradually tame the mind to a certain degree. But you can never let the mind, if you unloose, take the leash off of that animal, it's going to run back in the forest again. But you got to keep it tied up. But it'll gradually become more, you can handle it easier. But never fully can you depend on it. You always have to keep it on a leash.
like that, we always have to control our mind, and we have to tame the mind so that it doesn't get spoiled. If we're careless and we don't discipline the mind to think about Krishna, to worship Krishna, don't chant our japa, don't attend this temple program. What happens, you see, these programs are not some kind of punishment that Krishna has given, that where, we have to go to the temple because, this is, but some kind of discipline in a negative sense. But what he's giving us is a means for us to purify our consciousness, to be able to get rid of the contamination and actually develop a spontaneous desire to serve him. We can't go to the higher levels of devotional service until we actually develop a spontaneous desire to serve the Lord. So initially we have to do that according to rules and regulations. We know that here there's the morning program, there's the regular japa, we only eat prasadam as far as possible except in emergency. Of course, only vegetarian food and so on. So many different rules and regulations are there to help us to guide the mind, to discipline the mind until the point where we're spontaneously wanting to serve the Lord. At that time, we can't keep them away. They won't feel happy unless they can serve the Lord, unless they can chant Hare Krishna. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, he was already from birth, he was a Nitya Siddha, he was a liberated soul. Although he was a child, he had so much spontaneous desire to serve the Lord that his father was telling him, don't worship Krishna, don't chant japa, don't go to Mangalarti. But Prahlad refused to follow. No, I have to go to Mangalarti. I have to chant my japa. I have to serve Krishna. I'll do everything else you say, but I won't stop serving Krishna. I'll go to school, I'll do everything you want, but I have to serve Krishna. So when our mind comes at that point of spontaneous dedication, then of course it's a liberated mind. But until we're at that level, we have to discipline our mind. The mind, until it gets liberated, then it's conditioned. And so the mind tendency will always be to go off. So using our intelligence, we have to control the mind and keep it in the proper place. So that's why we know that it's a struggle. The intelligence always has to deal with this mind that tends to be unruly, to be naughty, to be spoiled. So we have to train the mind. Like a little child, you have to train it and so to see that the mind will properly grow. Otherwise, just like that spoiled child, you can see that these people find it very hard when they grow up. They think that it's a very hard world for them to live in because they all long thought that anything I want I can get. But in this world it's not like that. There's a lot of hard knocks. There's a lot of difficulties. You don't get everything the way you want it. There's suffering, there's disease, there's old age, there's death, there's all kinds of difficulties you're going to have to face. And it doesn't work out the way that we plan it all the time. So to have the inner strength and character to cross over those difficulties, to not lose it and just get angry and mistreat people. You see, sometimes, people who are spoiled in their childhood, they don't know how to properly deal with their parents, they don't know how to deal with their husband, they don't know how to deal with their wives, they don't know how to deal with their friends. Their whole life is that spoiled. But similarly, our mind is already spoiled from the time we get it. Unless we're born, liberated, which is very rare. So we have to now train up the mind and bring it to the proper vision. And even somebody who was doing the training partially, but then again lets the mind take control, they can also fall back to the same position. The question, who's the boss? Are we going to remain a slave to our mind and senses and just do whatever the mind and senses want? Or are we going to put our foot down and say, here, I'm the boss. I'm the soul. And my intelligence is the closest, the best thing I got to help me. And everybody here, hey, mind, shape up, head up! I'm the boss here. Do what I say, mind, senses, and mind's rebelling. Hell no, I'm not going to do what you say. But we force it. Okay, the mind's a little hard to control, so okay. We put on the regulation. eat at this time, can't not eat. We're going to have this type of family life. We're going to have this type of activities. This is the kind of recreation we're going to have. Everything is in its time. So then this very attitude of the mind starts to agree, okay, all right, anyway, I'm getting that something, everything. And then eventually the mind is exposed to, of course, to chanting Hare Krishna, and it becomes a little more malleable, a little more controllable. And as the mind starts to get a taste, the Atma gets a taste for Krishna consciousness, the mind also gets bliss. And then the mind starts to also like it. So dealing with our mind, this is actually what the whole process of yoga is all about, controlling the mind and senses. And if we forget that, and we just think that somehow, you know, it's not like punching in 9 to 5 or something, it's a 24-hour program. The mind has to be controlled all the time. But we do it through regulation in the beginning. We know we can't just, we have to have everything, but we have to do it according to our system. And we expose our consciousness, purify it to Krishna as much as possible. And we try to avoid things which are tamasic and rajasic, which are going to agitate the mind more and create more, make it more difficult to control subsequently. So someone that you're portraying, who's already older and should know better, they're allowing the mind to take over. They're surrendering to the mind. And the intelligence is getting a whipping there.
Thank you. is joyful. Keval ananda khanda. For they introduce chanting and dancing. There are many incarnations like Lord Rama and even Krishna who taught Bhagavad Gita, which requires knowledge and understanding. But Lord Chaitanya Nityananda introduced a process that is simply joyful, simply chant and dance. Therefore, Lochan Das requests everyone, bhajo, bhajo, bhai, Chaitanya Nityananda. My dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. Don't think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired goal. It will. It is the assurance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one will get all perfection by this process. Therefore, one must chant with firm faith and conviction. Vishwasa kuri. What is the process? The process is Vishwaya Charya Seva Se Mujiya. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one must give up his engagement in sense gratification. That is the only restriction. If one gives up sense gratification, it is sure that he will reach the desired goal. Muke bolo hari hari. One simply has to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, without any motive of sense gratification. Deko re bhai, Sri Bhuvane Nai. Lochan Das Thakur says, my dear brother, you just try and examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda, because their merciful qualities are so great that they make even birds and beasts cry. What to speak of human beings? Actually, when Lord Chaitanya passed through the forest known as Jarikanda, the tigers, elephants, snakes, deer, and all other animals joined him in chanting Hare Krishna. It is so nice that anyone can join, even the animals can join.